China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our maisons. I hope the Smoky Man's in this one like Harrison Ford. I'm getting frantic, like Sting and Fentrick. Like Snickers guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. K, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better clubs, gonna find the kind with tiny nubs just so my irons aren't always flying off the backswing. Gonna get into my Sailor Moon cause the cartoonist got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me, dropped your arms to the sides and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since the living room, we realized we're both to blame, but what could we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me, cause it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Richmond Stadium, home of the Robbie.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An intense search for the suspect in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Midtown Manhattan. Police have released clear surveillance video of his face.
Sources say he arrived in New York November 24th on a bus that originated in Atlanta. Greyhound saying in a statement, we are fully cooperating with authorities on this active investigation. Police are investigating whether the shooter left the city on a bus after the killing.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Seoul, South Korea. Protesters outside the National Assembly calling on President Yoon Suk-yeol to resign for his botched attempt to impose martial law. An arson attack at a synagogue in Melbourne, Australia. The Australian Prime Minister condemning the anti-Semitic attack. Police are searching for two suspects. This morning's report from the Labor Department showing the U.S. added 227,000 jobs in November. That's more than the 208,000 that analysts expected. This is ABC News.
Now, this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Matt Kelly. Pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly is announcing plans to invest $3 billion to expand the former Nexus facility in Kenosha County it bought earlier this year. The company plans to start construction on the addition next year and will add 750 jobs. There's an arrest warrant out for a woman accused of assaulting a Milwaukee teacher.
Milwaukee police accused 35-year-old Katoya Hearn of attacking an elementary school special education teacher last month. Hearn allegedly showed up at a meeting between the teacher and the legal guardian of her child and then repeatedly struck the teacher. The victim had a concussion from the attack. Hearn remains at large and faces substantial battery charges. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The city of Madison is posting new speed limits in residential neighborhoods, dropping the limit to 20 miles an hour. The Common Council approved the change after implementing the 20 is Plenty program in two trial neighborhoods. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, 21. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 41 on Sunday. Partly cloudy, 48 with some scattered light showers on Sunday night. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 13.
99.7.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:04 on Friday morning. Last chance to win a flock of Seagulls tickets. Need to text in now, Seagulls. Here's Fleetwood Mac, Little Lies on Max FM.
Tell me.
90s and more.
You 99.7
Max FM.
You said you'd meet me.
maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. We're going to take a quick look at the weather forecast because I'd hate not to mention the beautiful weekend we have ahead. Today, it will be partly sunny with a high near 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 22. On Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 41. On Sunday, get those shorts out. It'll be mostly sunny with a high of 47. Currently 14 degrees outside the Max FM studios, Emily.
Yes, it is. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. It's just, I mean, it looks, compared to this like freezing cold weather we've had in the last several days, it looks really inviting. So I'm going to say get on out there if you can. It's not warm, but it's not bitter cold like it has been. So just, and it's sunny. It makes all the difference. Absolutely. Also, one thing you have to do, last chance to win Flock of Seagulls tickets. Please text in quick to win 608-355-9970 or use your handy dandy Civic Media app. Go ahead and smash that mouse and that'll open up. Hit text and write in Flock or Seagulls or Seagull Stole Emily Sandwich or any combination of those words that you would like to have a chance to win Flock of Seagulls tickets at the Crystal Grand Music Theater.
Yeah, last chance 80s show at the Crystal Grand Music Theater next Saturday, December 14th. The show starts at 8. Doors open at 7, and you don't want to miss out. And we have picked two winners already. I'm waiting to get additional information from back both those winners. So last chance to win tickets today. Emily, it's going to be a great show. Speaking of great things happening.
Oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
We are about to find out the answer. So yesterday, let's review real quick what we talked about yesterday, because that is what is leading up to this. So yesterday, we were talking about Sam's Club, and they are doing their Holla Dog. So they're testing out this hot dog monstrosity. They're competing with Costco, and select Sam's Clubs are doing this in the New York City, Nashville, and Texas areas. And these were a hot dog topped with turkey on one side, prime rib roast on the other, a dog topped with mashed potatoes on one side and Christmas cookies on the other, or one with pumpkin pie or candy canes, or there was also mention of mac and cheese. This was a suggestion. You could do your own with like bacon-wrapped shrimp, stovetop stuffing, mac and cheese, and you know, I decided to be adventurous yesterday. Emily and I were talking.
Did you do it?
I did do it. Yes. I did do it. So Emily
Dave
and I were talking.
From the morning show, making his own holla dog.
Yes. So you and I were talking yesterday afternoon over at the Weicker Great Day building, home of the New Max FM studios, because we were doing some work over there yesterday. And you and I were talking. So as soon as I got done yesterday there, ran over to our local meat market, grabbed hot dogs and bacon. So I'm like, okay, I got to come up with something. So I did that. So I went there, and then I went over to Winter Express Market and got some cheese and some milk. And I decided I was going to make homemade mac and cheese last night. And while I'm doing that, I threw some hot dogs that I got at the meat market, sliced those open, put some cheddar cheese in them, wrapped it in bacon, and threw those in the oven. Yeah, I know my doctor hopefully is not listening right now to all this. And so I got that going. That made homemade mac and cheese. And so that was fun. So I had homemade mac and cheese. I will post a picture on Facebook. Emily got to see this creation in her private messaging this morning.
I got led into the dark side of the holla dog in Dave Grant's kitchen because I saw a picture. It is a monstrosity, yes, is a word for it. It's actually super beautiful, too. Like, I gotta say, there's crazy stuff happening in the food world all the time, and I think this is magazine worthy. I mean, just because I've never really seen, I pay attention to what's going on in the hipster food world, and this would totally be something that someone would do, you know, like, because it's just so wild. And it's also like very Wisconsin, right? So like, I can see some like hipster Wisconsin supper club newfangled situation being like, we're bringing all the things together that you all love, which is what you did. So way to go, Dave. You know what? Might as well be a chef. Just put another hat on. Call yourself a chef.
Well, there's, I have some history there, actually.
Oh, of course you do. Another million jobs. Let's see. Let's count all the different jobs that Emily and Dave have had together, and we're over at a million. Ding, 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 ding. It's amazing. It's really, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, the holla dog is a thing. Please pay attention to the Facebook page because you will see the actual holla dog picture that Dave created. Now, inquiring minds want to know, Was it delicious?
It was delicious. The one thing I will say with it, though, is it was a monstrosity. And so that was the one thing I will definitely say. It was definitely a monstrosity because trying to get this hot dog into a regular hot dog bun and then put mac and cheese on it. As you saw the picture, there was a lot of mac and cheese there. This hot dog was pretty decent size. It was a monstrosity. It was also very messy. And so I'm glad I had a plate on. I did not get any on my shirt, thankfully. I did that at lunch yesterday. So,
were you wearing your Civic Media shirt? Because that would have been perfect.
I was, actually.
The Civic Media t-shirt. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yes.
Thank you from all of us at Civic Media, thank you for not creating a holodog covered Civic Media shirt.
Right. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. So, no, it turned out. I mean, it was something, it was very good. I mean, and it was like you and I were talking yesterday. It was something that just we were randomly talking about yesterday on the morning show. And I got thinking, I'm like, you know, maybe I should just make this and try it. And I wanted homemade mac and cheese, you know, not the stuff that's in a box. So, yes.
No, and that's legit. And I also appreciate that you did go to, you know, you went to the local meat markets. Like you actually, it's a Baraboo flavored hola dog. Like it has all the things local and all the things homemade. So I think it's a great move. I mean, messy, who cares? Let's not tell your doctor because that sounds like a huge like conglomeration of things you're not supposed to be eating.
It is. There's no question.
Whatever.
About
it's the holidays and it's a hola dog. So you're just because it's got the word hola in.
Exactly. Okay. That is how we justify these things, right, Emily? We justify it by it. If it has hollow something in it.
I don't think that's real, but I'm making that a fake rule for now for everyone. So if you want to do something you think you're not supposed to do, this is not real. Just for fun. Just put holla in the front. Go for it. Just kidding. Okay. I'm going to have to stop now because I'm going to get myself in trouble trying to tell other people to get themselves in trouble just putting
right.
Holla in it. It does not equal something you can do. This is just for fun. This is for laughing. That's all.
Yes, it was all for strictly entertainment purposes is what my justification of eating bad things last night was anyway. So and it just, I just
for
posted.
For art's sake.
Yes, for art's sake. There we go. So it's literally posted on the Max FM Facebook page as we speak. Go check it out. So last chance to win, Flock of Seagulls. So, yeah.
Flock of Seagulls tickets. Text in to win. Seagulls of Flock. Flock of Seagulls. Of Seagulls. Seagull sandwich stolen by Seagull from Emily's mouth. 608-355-9970. Or use your handy dandy Max FM tap issue situation that's in your Civic Media app. So go ahead and use that. We'd love to hear from you. Flock of Seagulls tickets are there for you to win and also text to win a Christmas card. Just kidding. Text to receive a Christmas card with yours truly, Dave and Emily from the morning show's faces on it in there are our holla dog getups. Not just kidding. We're not going to wear holla dog costumes. But we do celebrate the holidays very nicely in this photo. So please go ahead and ask for the Christmas card and you shall receive.
Exactly. So, Emily, you'll be back with me shortly for calendar days.
Sounds like a plan.
It is More Music Mornings with Dave and Emily on Max FM.
Cell Plus invites you to catch the sunrise on Max FM. 4 hours of positive, uplifting music every Sunday morning from 5 to 9. Brought to you exclusively by your local U.S. Cellular agent. Cell Plus in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells.
Positive music on sunrise.
Break out the hairspray and leg warmers because your 80s costume could be a winner at the Crystal Grand Music Theater Saturday, December 14th. You could win a $500 Crystal Grand gift card at the 80s Costume Contest before a flock of seagulls takes the stage. Enjoy 80s-themed drink specials, grab bags, and see the Ghostbusters and a Prince impersonator at this totally rad event. December 14th at Crystal Grand Music Theater, where your seat is always the best seat. Details at crystalgrand.com.
Contemplative folk rock duo Avian Aura takes the stage at Konamichi Craft Bar this Saturday night. Catch them at 7:30. Now is the time to book your last-minute holiday party, large or small. Tables and window seats are available for your holiday celebration at Konamichi. Purchase a gift card to treat a family member or friend with the perfect tasteful gift this holiday season. Konamichi Craft Bar on 3rd Street in downtown Baraboo, where the cocktails, wine, and beer are perfectly paired with exceptional music and art.
Being part of a team means knowing you have support when you need it most. This is Kathy Mackesy, and at Bank of Wisconsin Dells, we understand the value of being surrounded by a strong team. That's why our personal bankers are committed to providing personalized financial solutions for all your deposit and banking needs. Select Bank of Wisconsin Dells to be part of your trusted financial team.
Member FDIC.
Welcome to the fourth day of the Max FM 12 Deals of Christmas. Float your troubles away at the new Equality Float Spa in Lake Delton. This new specialty float spa is designed to allow a private flotation therapy to reduce stress and anxiety and help with inflammation in the body. Certificate must be mentioned when booking. Go to maxfmbigdeals.com and purchase $90 float gift certificates for just $45 today only with Max FM 12 Deals of Christmas.
Sports is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts of Baraboo.
Wisconsin Radio Network Sports. Good morning. I'm Tim Fisher. We'll start with football, where the Green Bay Packers fell to the Detroit Lions 34-31 on Thursday Night Football last night. The Packers rallied from a 17-7 halftime deficit to take a lead that bounced back and forth. The Packers would tie it at 31 with a field goal with 3:42 left, but the Lions would march down and kick the game-winning field goal as time expired. The Packers now off until a week from Sunday when they play the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. To basketball in the pros, where the Milwaukee Bucks will be back in action tonight as they are in Boston to take on the Celtics. Finally, to college hockey. On the men's side, the Wisconsin Badgers will host top-ranked Michigan State for a two-game weekend series starting tonight. The top-ranked Wisconsin women have a two-game series in Mankato starting tonight. I'm Tim Fisher, Wisconsin Radio Network Sports.
Maximum hits.
By the hill and do the next thing that you feel. We were so in phase in a dance hall days. We were cool on craze when I, you and everyone we knew could believe, do, sharing what was true. Oh, I said, dance all day's love. Take your baby by the hair and pull her close and there, there, there. And take your baby by the ears and play upon her darkest fears. We were so in phase in a dance hall days. We were cool on craze when I, you and everyone we knew could believe, do, sharing what was true. I said, dance all day's love. Dance all days. Dance all days long. Take your baby by the wrist and in her mouth an amethyst, and in her red to sapphire blue. And you need her and she needs you. 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 We were so in phase in a dance hall days.
were cool and crazy. When I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, and share in what was true. Oh, I said, dance all day's long. Dance all day long. Dance all day. Dance all day long. Dance all day.
80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Wang Chung Dance Hall Days, 8:27 on Friday morning. It is Dave and Emily with you. Emily, it's time to talk about calendar days.
It's time to talk about calendar days. And happy Friday to everybody out there. Today is December 6th, and there's a couple of really cute ones, and there's some serious ones too. Mitten Tree Day. I just love that. Keep your hands toasty warm this Mitten Tree Day, and maybe bless someone else too. So look up Mitten Tree Day to find out more about what that means to bless someone on the Mitten Tree. Also, I like this one a lot, talking about more clothing items. Put on your own shoes day. You could see this day as a metaphor for proudly strutting your stuff. So if that means putting on the coolest shoes you got and getting out there and walking around town with them on, or just knowing that you are a unique individual and you want to be out there showing that every day, whatever that means to you, strut your stuff today.
Yes. And, you know, those are so neat. And I saw a couple that I really liked on here. National Microwave Oven Day. We had that playing in our song opener today. We know how much we appreciate our microwave ovens. The other two I saw was National Bartender Day, Emily.
Ooh, as a longtime bartender and fans of other bartenders, knows how hard work that is and just how much it takes to handle all of the things. Talk about multitasking. Celebrate your bartender. If you end up in a bar today or knowing a bartender and seeing them, say, hey, great job. We appreciate you. We appreciate that.
Yes.
Also National Miners Day. They have one of the most difficult and dangerous jobs you can imagine. Lots of history on, you know, miners in this area too. So yeah, check that out. That's super interesting stuff. Talk about a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it. Whew, man, that's a tough one. Finland Independence Day. To all the Finns out there, celebrate this Independence Day with more fervor than ever. That's a place I've always wanted to go. Maybe someday. And then there's a big one, which is interesting. On a cold day, cold soup?
Yuck. No, thank you.
National Gazpacho Day. Gazpacho has some history in this area, too. But anyways, I've had gazpacho. I like soup because it's warm, but gazpacho right. has a really, really interesting flavor. I do enjoy it, but it's more of a summertime thing for me. But who cares? Today is National Gazpacho Day. So, I don't know. Buy some gazpacho and put it in the microwave.
There you go. Yeah, that would work. I just cold soup. No, thanks. And the last one I had for today, it's St. Nicholas Day. So make sure you put those stockings out for St. Nick's Day. And St. Nicholas is known for selling all his possessions and giving his money to the poor. He was raised as a devout Christian. St. Nicholas dedicated his whole life to serve the sick and suffering. So definitely nice to understand what St. Nick's Day is really all about.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people celebrate that. And it's the first kind of round of gift giving or special times with your family for this holiday. So it is kind of nice. So there's some good history to that to learn about. You know, we're here to educate. So we're here to at least nudge you to like get online and learn more about cool stuff. So everyone out there, celebrate yourselves today and this weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember to text in for those Christmas cards. Put in your full name and address. We need those things in order to send you the card. So thank you to those of you out there that are texting in. Someone in particular, thanks. But we need your address. And we'll talk to all of you soon. Have a lovely Friday and weekend. Enjoy the weather.
Emily, you will be back with me on Monday morning. I hope you have a great weekend as well.
Same to you, Dave. See you soon.
See you soon. All right, coming up, we will have a look at weather, and then we'll have Hanging with Havel and Maddie up on Max FM.
Gem City Weather.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, 21. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 41 on Sunday. Partly cloudy, 48 with some scattered light showers on Sunday night. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 13.
99.7
Max FM.
80s, 90s, and more.
99.7
Max FM.
We're going to dance.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments as we talk about the Packers' loss in Detroit last night. The Lions have now clinched a playoff berth in the NFC. We'll get into that in just a few moments. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
It is your last chance to stock up at Oakwood Fruit Farm during the winter stock up sale. All remaining apples are buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value. Buy a peck, get a peck free. Buy a bushel, get a bushel free. Choose from several delicious apple varieties, perfect for gifts or winter treats. Plus, don't miss the apple cider, take and bake pies, and famous apple cider donuts still available. Open 9 until 4 every day until the apples are sold out for the season. South of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road, just follow the signs to Oakwood Fruit Farm. Don't wait, stock up before it's too late.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Well, Chris, let's start out with the obvious. The Green Bay Packers go into Detroit last night and they do not get the win. In fact, it was a very, very close fought game. And unfortunately, a few defensive injuries to the Green Bay Packers felt like it derailed a whole lot of stuff when we thought it was going to be the Lions. That and some officiating, but we'll get into that in a few moments as well. I mean, what's your take to just jump right in this morning? Because there's a lot to cover. What's your take on what you saw from the Green Bay Packers last night?
Well, Maddie, it's a disappointing loss for sure, and especially the first half, because when you look last night, 7 points in the first half, you started out punt, fumble, and the Christian Watson fumble in the first half, the Christian Watson offensive pass interference call in the second half, the pick that really wasn't, I suppose, but those two plays were just critical in the whole grand scheme of things. I just could never have fathomed the Packers offense starting that slowly, and to me, it looked like they really were a little bit perplexed on whether to just stick with the run and try to attack that way or whether to go with the pass. Clearly, the first drive, LaFleur wanted to come out and throw the ball, but I guess I'm a little befuddled by that, because after the game last night, LaFleur admitted we knew they were going to play man. We knew they were going to be aggressive against the run with some run blitzing. I thought the game plan defensively was outstanding for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers kind of muddled around a little bit before they figured out what they really wanted to try to get done on offense. And that was disappointing, because their identity is to run it and ram it and to do that and then to play action off of it. But yeah, there wasn't a lot of creativity from Matt LaFleur.
It felt like one of his most bland games that I have seen him put together since Malik Willis had to start for Jordan Love because of injury. It was bland. It was boring. And there were a few times when you could pretty much call the play just sitting at home watching it, because they'd run it already so many times. Well, if we were figuring it out sitting on our couches, the Detroit Lions defense was going to figure it out as well. Something felt very off last night, like they were trying to play it safe because this is a very good Lions team. I'm not really sure what the mindset was, but I didn't, like you, understand coming out of the gate with passes and then maybe working Josh Jacobs in because, hey, do you know he sits on our bench and he's pretty darn good? I mean, that's kind of what it felt like at one point. He eclipsed 1,000 yards last night. The dude's been solid this year, and to kind of just use it as a back burner thing, I really didn't understand what the entire plan offensively was. The line. Let's talk about the O-line, shall we, for just a second?
Sure.
I felt like that was one of the most disappointing points of the evening. Even before Sean Ryan had to go out of the game because of injury, that O-line, who has been so good in so many instances for the last few weeks, they were getting completely manhandled by third and fourth stringers who essentially just walked off the street and had to suit up because this Detroit defense is so banged up. I don't know if they were a little shocked by that. I don't know if it was just the game plan, what the deal was. But I, for one, was very disappointed in the offensive line play, especially during the first half of the game.
Well, you look at Dan Campbell's mindset, and with all the injuries that they did have and changes they had to make, the one decent point I thought the announcers made all night was that defensively, the Lions kind of just shot the works a little bit in terms of, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to just try to get into gaps and disrupt and let the chips fall where they may, and hope that Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph on the back end can keep things contained to a low roar at least. And they really caved and collapsed the pocket more than I can remember Josh Myers and the two guards getting shoved around and really slapped around by guys who, and I don't understand if it was because they weren't firing off the ball because they're worried about the silent count or the crowd, but they got to get past that. That's no excuse. And I just didn't think they had the tenacity up front on the O-line. Elton Jenkins with a dumb penalty. They had some moments that were lesser than, and to me, that really was a big part of it. Jordan Love getting pressure right in his face. If you're going to come out throwing the ball and you haven't established the run game yet to really make believable play action, how would you expect anything but that to happen?
It was just a very strange, it felt very disjointed. It felt very, very disjointed. Like this was a game that you would see this team play early in the year, not at this stage of the season. That's how it felt to me. And honestly,
a lot of searching fire instead of kill shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I actually thought they played better, even though it was a loss the first go-around at Lambeau. I actually thought they played better against the Lions in that go-around than they did last night, honestly, especially in that first half of the game. It just felt like they were playing with their food all night long, and they didn't really know what to do. And meanwhile, the Lions were like, no, we're going to just take a steak right to the heart, because that's what they've done essentially to everybody all season. It just felt very disappointing to me last night. To see where this team had been just a couple of weeks ago, to see how good and sharp they were against the Dolphins last week, especially offensively, and then to see them come out against the Lions, because let's face it, this Lions team is beatable. They stuck with them all night long, but it was another instance where they just didn't have the right game plan. They kept shooting themselves in the foot, and Jordan Love could not be sharp in any way, shape, or form. And by the time they finally started establishing Josh Jacobs back there, I mean, the defense was just in Jordan Love's lap all night long, and Josh Jacobs at that point as well. I mean, they were in the backfield sometimes before Jacobs even had the ball in his hands. So
I mean, the flea flicker should have been a huge play that got blown up, and because a bad block. Zach Tom, yeah. By the way, let's mention he had one of the worst games I've ever seen him have as a Green Bay Packer last night. He really got handled pretty. He got mauled by Za'Darius Smith right out of the gate to open the game, and I think that kind of set a tone too. That's Zach Tom, and you're letting that old man, Rashawn Gary's mentor, have a better game than Rashawn Gary. That was to me very, very disappointing. But I thought, in terms of just trying to establish something again on offense, because second half, when they just said, look, push comes to shove, 17-7, we need a touchdown. Guess what? 10 runs on the 12-play drive. They ran the football, focused it, executed it, and even overcame a penalty, I think, on that drive to be able to get that touchdown to get them back to within the game. And then you had the big interception and the quick turnaround, and you're ahead. You know, and Jeff Hafley, I'm a little conflicted, and I know I'm jumping around here a little bit.
No, but that's okay. You sound like the Packers played last night. Well, it's fine. We'll go with that flow.
A little frenetic because you talk about the Lions defense being down so many players. That's one thing coming into a game, but during a game, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, no Jaire Alexander again to start with, but you lose those two guys and you didn't have Williams and Alexander last time you played the Lions. This time you didn't have either of them plus Javon Bullard. I thought Zane Anderson played pretty well at safety.
Sure.
So you might have a little something there to work with, but Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes just are not good enough.
No.
When they are one-on-one and expected to cover for any amount of time. So I think that the weaknesses on both sides of the ball, the Lions, I got to give their coordinators credit. They attacked what they needed to and did a better job. Out-coached the Packers.
They're a very well-coached team, and I hate to admit that because you know how I feel about Dan Campbell. But they are. They really, truly are, and they are the echelon of where you need to be in the NFC. Now, unfortunately for the Green Bay Packers, and I don't know why anybody's really making a big deal about this, they basically eliminated any chance they had of winning the NFC North. Duh. I mean, that was kind of a foregone clue, which is why I don't understand why everybody's all upset about that. The Lions would have had to lose their next four. The Vikings would have to lose to the Bears, and the Packers would have to win their next four in order to win the NFC North. None of those scenarios were ever going to play out, even if they would have won last night. It's just how it is, right? You pretty much knew at some point they were just going in as a wild card team into the playoffs, which, I mean, if you want to count your losses from last night, not having a shot at winning the NFC North, which, again, pretty expected, that's fine. We know that's out the window, but they didn't really do any harm. Obviously, at this stage of the game, you want to win as many games as possible. But at the same time, they didn't really do any harm as far as their standings in the NFC and as far as playoff.
You're looking 11-6, 12-5 anyway with the loss last night. And the division, let's face it, if the Packers don't clean up their act, because I still believe they're going to be in the playoffs, if they don't get better in certain areas, whether they had home field advantage or on the road, I don't think
it's
really
not going to matter. No.
They're not going to win either place. And the other part of that that's disturbing to me, or I would say disturbing, a little distressing anyway, last night is the fact that this is now the Eagles, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Lions again, the best teams on their schedule, they have stared down and lost.
Yes.
So until they get a marquee big-time win like Lions last year, Thanksgiving, Chiefs at Lambeau Field, Cowboys there because we didn't really know just how dysfunctional Dallas was at that time.
Sure.
And even battling the Niners then after that.
Agreed.
But not having that you know, pin your helmet on Witty at this season is sooner or later. Come on now.
Yeah, you know, and I guess when you look at the schedule coming up, you, as dysfunctional as the NFC West is, you still have the Seahawks who are leading that division on your plate. Getting a win there, I think, would help because at least that's a division leader. Again,
and I
know
say this about Seattle. They aren't going to hand you a win.
Oh, no.
If you play sloppy, like you and I were talking about last night, exchanging texts, Seattle will be more than happy to beat you. That is easy to see that happening. It's happened before. Geno Smith, I mean, they're no joke.
They're
very well coached. So
yes, absolutely.
You better be on top of your game.
You can't take anybody for granted at this stage of the game. I mean, the Seahawks also know what's on the line, especially in the NFC West, because even as awful as that division has been, anybody could still take that division if you look at the standings and how things are playing out. And next Thursday night, you have the Rams and the 49ers playing. And so, again, you've got some more jockeying for position there. So Green Bay is definitely going to have to fight for a wild card spot. And, you know, there's a lot of people have been, you know, you know how much I love to read the fan reaction online. There's a lot. It bothers you. I find it hilarious because, I mean, last night after the game, it was cut this guy, fire this guy, nobody's good enough. And oh my gosh. All right. Everybody calm down. It was a good fought game. And you're right. They do need a marquee win. But the one thing that I guess if you need a saving grace out of this is it wasn't one of those games where they just completely vanished for big periods of the game. As sloppy as it was, they were in it. The defense, I think, until they really got gassed and started losing too many players, I mean, they stayed with the Lions. And in fact, when you kind of look at what the defense did to the Lions, let's see, where was the stat that I wanted to share with you here this morning? I've got to find it. I know I was totally unprepared. Here we go. They averaged only 5.1 yards per play, but here's the big difference in what happened last night in the win. They converted 4 of 5 fourth downs and ran 76 different plays. I mean, that's pretty astronomical. Those are big numbers when you actually think about it and break it down. And
36 to 23 time of possession.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's not usually where the Green Bay Packers find themselves. They're usually the ones leading in time of possession, and not last night. The Lions basically controlled that game at both lines of scrimmage and with the time of possession, even with Jared Goff's one turnover through a majority of the game. And that felt like the big difference. They were in control the entire game.
They played with the lead and then they got behind, but it didn't seem to faze them at all.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers clearly, when you had the chance to get that touchdown, had to settle for the tying field goal. Right then your heart had to sink if you're a Packer fan, because that's how
you knew
lose games. And that was the one failure in the red zone of all things all night. 4 out of 5 in the red zone for the Packers. Really good. But hey, you know, you got to be 5 out of 5 because 31, I thought they would score in the 30s and I thought they would win. Well, I was half right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those games where when we talked about it yesterday morning, I kind of figured it was going to be a close one. I don't know. It felt like a shootout. Both defenses have some issues right now, and that's essentially what we saw. Now, here's what I will say, and I know we're kind of jumping around this morning a little bit, but there's a lot to get to with this particular game. One of the positions that I saw that definitely needs a little bit more speed, and boy, oh boy, I hope we get Edgar and Cooper back pretty soon, because the linebacking position, they need some serious speed there. The inability to cover a dig or a screen cost the Packers this game last night. It almost cost them against Miami, and it almost cost them against the 49ers. All three teams torched the Green Bay Packers in the middle of the field with the dig and the screen. And at some point, Halfley's going to have to come up with an answer for that. If you're going to make a postseason run, which they inevitably will, whether that's one game or multiple, teams are going to kill you, because when you make it to the playoffs, you want to expose the worst qualities of your opponent. opponent. And right now, the middle of the field, they just can't handle it. They aren't doing anything in the middle of the field.
No, I mean, Sam
could run a play on them.
They gave him a break with a drop pass that generally he catches. But other than that, the middle of the field and Jahmyr Gibbs and the screen game, whether it was a middle screen or a receiver screen or something to the back, they screened the Packers to death and invited them, you know, said the spider to the fly, come on in and get Goff. And I never really saw any leadership. And this is where linebackers, to your point about speed in a position where you need to add some speed with Cooper or beyond, that's where a linebacker steps in and says, hey, look, I'm going to sniff out this screen, and I'm going to beat the blockers to the spot, and I'm going to blow this thing up. And they had some opportunities to do that from the trip of Jared Goff on the handoff, even some chances to Kenny Clark having a chance to blow a play up, Carl Brooks the same, and missed some opportunities that if you make a play here or there, and one thing, Matt LaFleur, it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason because it's true. It's a handful of plays that decide these kind of games last night, and the Packers and the Lions did.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think a lot of fans are a little disgruntled, right? Because you expect a team who played so well last year, especially at the end of the season, to be in a spot to actually start making those plays and start differentiating themselves a little bit, or at least be able to beat some of these upper echelon teams. There's the great teams in the league right now, and then there's the good teams. And I would put the Packers in the good side right now. They're not great.
From the Eagles, the Lions. I don't know about the rest of the NFC, but that's two big hurdles right there. I don't know. You need to have any more than that. And right now, look, if they played the Commanders in a playoff type atmosphere,
I don't know if they beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they'd be able to do it.
I'd have to say it's a toss up.
Yeah, absolutely. I would too. Now, one of the things that I am most perplexed about, and I want to get your opinion on this because you and I were texting about it throughout the game. Where is Jaden Reed? What happened to Jaden Reed? I am so confused as to where he went. He is essentially your gadget guy, your number one receiver. He is the guy who is fast, who has the good hands. And it has been since week nine, I believe, that he has had a game with 30 plus yards. What is going on with Jaden Reed? Last night, we weren't even sure he was on the field.
I thought he was injured because he wasn't on the field, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. And then I understand, you'd like Wicks bigger bodied guy in there if you're going to try to run the ball.
Okay.
Which ends up being kind of a tell, like in Colbert, you know what I mean? Where Wicks is in, okay, they're running and son of a gun. Most of the times they did, but you don't have Romeo Doubs. I thought Jaden Reed too would have a huge game last night. And the thing with him, I was really upset about the broadcast because I assumed he was injured.
Right.
And they weren't talking about it because they wouldn't know who the best players
are. Just turns out he was on the sideline hanging out a little bit. I mean, what is happening?
They tried to slide him out. It was a huge – the play, actually, that Christian Watson got called for the pass interference was supposed to go to Reed coming out of the backfield, which probably had a clever look to it, but he got caught up in the wash and the garbage and tripped.
Here's my problem with the way, and this is just my personal opinion, right? You correct me if you think I'm wrong. I want some feedback on this. Because when they trot Jaden Reed out onto the field at this point in time, it's not like it used to be with him as the wide receiver. Every time they trot him out onto the field, the play ends up being blown up because they're using him in some sort of gadget position where he's running from the backfield or they flick it to him in the backfield and he runs out on a jet sweep. There is no surprise element in what they're doing with Jaden Reed anymore. If he's out on the field, you might as well expect him to be in the backfield because they are not using him like they have in the past. And I don't know what has changed. I don't know why that seems to be the reasoning. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is going for the bigger body receivers. If this is something that was decided when Romeo Doubs had to be suspended for his playing time, I have no idea. I'm not even going to, these are just ideas I've mulled in my head. But every time they put him on the field, the play ends up going nowhere because they have trotted out the same play over and over, and there is no surprise element anymore to the defense. It's been seen on tape.
It seems like they have lost their way with trying to really focus Jaden Reed and get him off. And I think part of it is some overthinking, Maddie. You talk about, okay, gadget guy or all this and that. You know what? He's a heck of a slot receiver. Let him line up in the slot, get him in motion, and throw the ball to him.
Let him be your Randall Cobb of years gone by. I mean, that's what Randall Cobb was best at.
A bubble screen or a fake jet sweep and then slide him out of the. You don't need to do all that stuff with him. Get him lined up one-on-one with the DB and let him beat the guy. And by the way, he can line up on the perimeter, too.
Yes.
You can start him in the slot.
Yes.
Get him on the perimeter because he'll go up and win 50-50 balls. We see him do it all the time when he's given the opportunity. And I just think that part of it is just an omission on the offense in particular. They have lost their way somehow with Jaden Reed.
Yes.
And his whole, as if he's established and almost they're taking it for granted and using him as a decoy.
Yes.
And defenses are like, you know what, you're not using him at all, to your point. Decoy or otherwise, what do we care?
I would be so excited, honestly, if you had Josh Jacobs lined up in the backfield and all of a sudden you trotted out Christian Watson, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, and maybe Dontavian Wicks out there. And who are you going to give the ball to? That, to me, would be the element of surprise against a defense as good as what Detroit has been coached to be, right?
You know,
that would be the element.
Package. Okay, so they deployed it a handful of times last night. There's no great effect.
It was awful.
What are you trying to do out of this? Are you trying to run the ball, or are you trying to throw it to the back? Are you trying to make it look like run and then throw?
Yes.
They did none of that. It was just a jumble, really. Matt LaFleur, one of his poorest coaching jobs in a while, both in the lead-up and then the execution during.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that was the most disappointing part about last night's game. Honestly, I didn't really expect them to go into Detroit and win. I really honestly didn't. I know there's still some flaws that they're working through. I know the defense is still not quite where they need to be. And in order to slow down that Detroit offense, you've got to be pretty much perfect, right? We've seen really good teams try to slow down that Detroit offense to no avail. And I knew the Packers were not quite there yet. And so I wasn't so disappointed about the loss, but at the same time, I just expected better execution. I think that was the most disappointing part for me last night, is I expected them to be sharper. I didn't expect them to get pushed around on the line of scrimmage, especially on the offensive side, when you are literally playing with guys who are coming in off the street for defense on the Detroit Lions. I expected Jordan Love to be a little sharper. I expected them to be able to open up some lanes for Josh Jacobs. I expected more creativity with Jaden Reed, because this is the point of the season where you're at. Maybe some big throws downfield to Christian Watson, which they did. But it feels like at this point they're trying to get Christian Watson in the mix so much for those big plays that they're forgetting they have other really great receivers. Hello, Jaden Reed sitting on the bench. I mean, it feels like there's, like you said, they've really lost their way as far as getting these guys in the mix.
For sure. The more aggressive team right out of the gate. Okay, so you defer. And Matt LaFleur said after
that
the
never
game
works
night,
in Matt LaFleur's favor, by the way.
I
Any
know,
game he
I know.
Defers, they always lose. As soon as they deferred, I went, oh, God.
And that goes back to the point about being aggressive and setting a tone. Okay, so I understand what he's saying about not wanting. And this is where it goes. From the last game, what the heck does the last game have to do with deferring or not, Matt LaFleur? Because he said, I don't want to be in a position where if we're trailing, that we don't get the ball first in the second half.
This is a whole new game and a whole different opponent.
Yeah, better. Well, the Lions and a different team. But so your thought going in is we don't want to not have the ball the second half if we're behind. If we're behind, how about this? You take the ball, you jam it down that defense's throat, and you play it from the lead. Or just as well,